welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of November 17th through November 23rd. This is your host, Cardzy B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzy B, as well as various tarot products and events. So we are in our last week of Scorpio season, with Sag officially around the corner starting on Friday, November 22nd, and the new moon in Sagittarius coming up next Tuesday, the 26th. And as we just had our full moon in Taurus this past Tuesday, November 12th, we're really in a great time to kind of release and clear any remaining debris that Scorpio season may have brought up for us. On last week's episode, we had Kat Cabral from the Spells deck, the creator of the Spells deck, and she talked about the Vesta card in her deck as being one of her favorites. And she said that, you know, this is a great clearing ritual for old energetic ties that don't serve us, situations, patterns, whether that's people, addictions, self-sabotaging behaviors. And this waning moon that we're now in is a great time to utilize this ritual to go into Sagittarius season with a clean slate, ready to receive and party it up true Sagittarius style. And I have to say, I sometimes find that some of the more challenging astrological seasons end up being the best for me. Like I have gone into seasons being like, woohoo, it's Leo season. And, you know, it ends up bringing, you know, a ton of challenges into my life. And I've been depleted. And I have to say Scorpio season, which is traditionally known for you've got to go into those like deep, dark Scorpio waters and clear some shit. I've had a really incredible Scorpio season. I'm so grateful for that. Had great connections with people that I love. I have cleared some things out, but I felt very conscious and aware as it was happening. So I hope that Sagittarius season, which is notoriously fun. Hello, I'm a Sag. I hope that it is as bright and shiny as I expect it to be, but I'm grateful for what an incredible Scorpio season it's been so far. So let's go through our final weeks of November's cards because we only have 2 weeks left of these guys. So we are still, these ladies, I should say, Badass Bitches Tarot, you know what I mean. We're still working with that Scorpio ruled death card, and that was our card of the month according to the Golden Dawn, right? Because the death card is ruled by Scorpio. And this card really demonstrates that power in the death and rebirth cycle. As I said, we were likely, I know I did, I'm not sure if you guys all did, but it's very common in Scorpio season and in Scorpio energy, like the death card, to experience energetic shifts and transformation. So November for many people will be full of energetic shifts and up levels that do require a little bit of growth, and there might be growing pains with that. Scorpio's water-ruled energy can bring up a lot of emotional issues, but it also provides a lot of clarity as you kind of delve into that and go through it. And that's the most empowering part of the death card, and why I honestly, this is one of my favorite major arcana cards. Our other card from the January 2019 annual overview was Temperance for November, aka the Alchemist of the deck. This card is known as the Moderation card, but it is also the Alchemist. So to me, it's not always about just a blanket statement of moderation. It's finding what moderation means to you, when to get in there and kind of mix things up, do the work, get involved, and when intuitively it's the right time to step back and to observe and to receive. I think this is a perfect card for November, considering, you know, the chaos of Mercury retrograde that we're still in until this week, until the 20th, and there's still that shadow period always, and the craziness of the holidays. You know, it's starting with Thanksgiving at the end of this month. So Temperance kind of reminds us to find that balance, and I like that it pairs nicely with the death card, with those transformations and those shifts. You know, the Temperance card is kind of like, all right, let's take a look at the big picture, the whole perspective, and really intuitively lean into when we need to get involved, give it 100%, and when we need to back up and observe a little bit. Now for our cards of the week. Okay, let's take a look. Seven of Cups. Okay, so in the OG Smith Rider Waite, this card shows this mofo standing in front of these seven gold cups filled with different gifts. Some are like shiny jewels and golden trinkets and wreaths and treasures, and others are snakes and dragons. And it's funny because in a lot of the original interpretations of the tarot, people have written that this is to say that that denotes danger, you know, that snakes and dragons are like, oh, those are, they're also dangerous opportunities in the mix. But I freaking love snakes and dragons. I'm like, I would probably go for that snake number one. I'd be like, that little mofo has some Slytherin knowledge. So to me, I kind of have readjusted the meaning of this card, saying that some opportunities may be more mysterious than others, right? And the point in Seven of Cups is choices need to be made of how to proceed and do so carefully with your intuition. Because a snake may be like guidance, intuition. It reminds me of Mama Ayahuasca, knowledge. And to some people, a snake may be terrifying. So Seven of Cups is like, use your intuition, let that guide you of which choices to move forward with, and do it as quickly as possible. Because kind of the clouds and the dreamlike state in Seven of Cups, the original illustration suggests that these opportunities are going to disappear. They're kind of going to like fade like a dream pretty quickly. So choose your path as quickly as you can, but also as, you know, intuitively as you can. It is a Cups card after all. Astrologically, Seven of Cups is Venus in Scorpio. And I think, you know, it's funny. I think Venus just left Scorpio recently, like early November, but it's funny timing wise when you pull cards and you're like, ah, yeah, it's all aligned. But anyway, Venus is, of course, the planet of love, the planet of enchantment and beauty, and going into that deep and imaginative constellation of Scorpio, which can cause the mind to overanalyze and overwork. It can either romanticize a la Venus or kind of go into those like deep Scorpio waters of overthinking. Seven of Cups reminds us to, again, choose intuitively and choose quickly, even if we may be tempted to fantasize, daydream, go too deeply into the what ifs. Like, it's choose your choice and, you know, choose your instincts. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, this card is Angela Snow, one of my favorite humans on this planet. Chief Creative Officer of Nike, she has crafted a path with so many options constantly being thrown at her. She's lived in Hong Kong, Amsterdam, Portland, and had so many different roles, challenges, from being an amazing, you know, full-time mother, C-level executive, and her decisiveness and confidence in her decisions have always propelled her forward on that path. Seven of Cups is also, it's ruled by the Chariot, and I always call the sevens the good problems to have cards, because being ruled by the Chariot, they're cards of victory, usually. They're cards of coming to a successful end, but they often come with a price tag. You know, there's a price to pay. There's an energetic exchange. In this case, choose wisely and choose intuitively if you want that prize at the end of the, you know, mystical cup rainbow. All right, so now it's time. We're in November's Ask Cardzy B segment, and I'm really excited. I think we missed the segment for October. I don't know if we had. It might have been when I did my retreat, but I feel like it's been a while since we had one of these, and this is one of my favorite segments because I get questions from you guys all the time. I compile them into the ones that I think are the most helpful to everybody, like who would have, you know, this question out there, and how many listeners can relate. So first of all, I got a question about the upcoming holidays, and I really liked this because I think that a lot of us probably are somewhat in this boat. Dear Cardzy, I'm kind of the black sheep of the witchy aunt of my family, and really dread Thanksgiving with my Midwestern conservative Christian family. Do you have any suggestions for surviving the upcoming holidays without compromising my integrity? Oh, go on a deep one right away. Indigo Witch Next Door 87. Thank you for your question. Going right in with this month's Ask Cardzy B. All right, I feel like I'm already talking to my twin best friend. As a fellow witchy aunt, I hear you. There's really no universal answer to this, as each of us and all of our family dynamics are very different. As an Aries rising, I can be overly assertive by nature. And in the past, some may even say a little preachy, soapboxy, hello, Sagittarius Sun. But I've found the older I get and kind of the more I step back and observe, the best thing that we can do in a lot of scenarios is just be the example of happiness and kindness. I had a session with my shaman recently. He's amazing. If you haven't listened to the episode with Christopher Beavers, that's my shaman and my spiritual advisor. He's the man. And he recently said to me, it's really funny to me that you're so tiny. I'm like 5'1" and very petite. But he said, you have the ability to take up so much space. And he told me that he was getting the vision that I take up a lot of space in my family. And he said, you know, I see it as being very well-meaning and done with the intent to come in, take care of things, get things done, and help. It's also important in nature, which is the basis of shamanism, to take up the right amount of space. And that's different at different times. So this really, you know, it's funny because this came into play. Last week, my dad's cousin died of a heart attack when they were on a trip together in this cabin in the woods for my dad's birthday. And this is one of my dad's best friends. It's almost like a sibling to him. My dad's an only child. My dad, you know, attempted to give him CPR, did all he could, but his cousin died shortly after the ambulance took him to the hospital. And I know how very sensitive my dad is, even if he doesn't always know how to really express or communicate that verbally. And I can't imagine, you know, just myself losing someone so close to you so unexpectedly and then, you know, add that to it happening right before your birthday. So my inclination, and maybe it was my ego, was I'll handle this. I'm going to call him and I'm going to follow up with emails and I'm going to keep checking in on him and, you know, just make sure he knows I've got his back. I love him. I've got this. He didn't answer his phone, understandably, and he texted that he had to take care of things over the next couple of days with the death of his cousin, and he would text me as soon as he was back home. So at this point, I knew I couldn't realistically get to the middle of the woods the next day, and my mom was on a work trip to DC. And, you know, of course, my mom had, like, called, and, you know, she had offered, you know, her sensitivity and condolences in the situation as well, but none of us were physically there. And my sister lives 5 minutes from my parents. And my sister and I, we don't always see eye to eye. She doesn't really understand or believe in metaphysical and esoteric healing or tarot, and we live our lives very, very differently. But I know how much she loves my dad, and I know she loves me. And growing up, she was always a very kind and empathetic big sister. So I called her, and I told her what happened, and that I knew he'd be very sad when he got home. She went over to their house as soon as he got back, and they had an amazing talk, and, you know, she comforted him as he told her what happened, the loss he felt, and he cried to her. And, you know, that was, I know he needed that human connection in that time. And I realized that was the right amount of space, as my shaman would say, for that situation. There were always times when I was young that I wanted to shrink so small and disappear, causing me to feel very anxious and unsafe. And then sometimes in my adult life, like I said, I take up too much space, and that can cause other people to shrink. And family situations that are challenging, especially with the added stress of the holidays, I think it's really about taking up the energetic space that you need, standing in your truth without shrinking or dimming your light. And when, as Christopher Beavers, my shaman says, take up the right amount of space, you create, when you do that, you create an authentic, peaceful example. I've realized that it doesn't do any good to preach about the benefits of tarot and meditation or why my plant-based diet is so much better for my physical health and my emotional well-being. But just by genuinely being myself, being kind, and being patient, my family has been much more open to these practices, if for no other reasons than the curiosity of what's made me so much calmer and kinder. So I think it's important that when you're in these situations that can be stressful, to also carve out time for yourself to recenter and ground. So even if it's a few minutes in the morning, and whether that's a guided meditation on your headphones, going for a walk, you know, wherever you're staying if you can, or even just pulling some cards for yourself in the morning, I feel like that really helps you kind of like ground, recenter, and be like, okay, I still have this for me. I still have all the things I need with me, whether that's, you know, meditation within you, rituals that help you. So I hope that's helpful. And like I said, you know, take what works for you from that and leave what doesn't, because it's definitely customizable and it's personal and different to everybody. There is no universal right answer for this, but I hope that's helpful. So much love and light in this upcoming holiday season, and def pack some sage or some sage spray in your luggage, just as, you know, kind of extra ammunition. All right. Next question. Hey, Cardzy, you post herbal teas and honeys on your Insta stories. I really would love to learn more about specific herbs that are good for daily ritual use and herbs that are related to specific tarot cards. As I've seen you and other Insta witches, tongue twister, I adore, reference these. Alicia from Brooklyn. Yes. Okay. Definitely. If you're into learning more about herbs and their kind of metaphysical and magical properties, a great starting point is Scott Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. It's an amazing resource with all of the, actual kind of medical properties as well as metaphysical properties of almost every herb. And I'll link to this on this podcast. I just taught a big herbology workshop in the retreat I just did in the Hamptons, and I referenced his book throughout. It's definitely like a key resource to have if you're into incorporating herbal healing in your practices. I always say that, like, if I was at Hogwarts, because people know me for tarot, right? But if I was at Hogwarts, my major would have obviously been divination. Hello, tarot is the divinatory tool. But my minor would have definitely been herbology. Plants are incredibly healing and have personally changed my life, really, in the past couple of years. From intense life-altering experiences with ayahuasca to small daily healing practices with herbs like rose petals and mugwort. So since you live in Brooklyn, I would also recommend checking out Flower Power. They're an incredible resource. They do classes and workshops if you're interested. They have one location in the Essex Market and one in the East Village. And the herbalists who work there are so knowledgeable and talented. And Ariel, she's a rock star in her own right. Like, you can follow her on Instagram at Ariel the Herbalist. I'll also link to that. And if you don't live in the New York area, you can also order online from Flower Power because they sell all of the dried herbs, tinctures, everything you can imagine. Flower Power has it. They're my go-to resource. It's a really broad topic, actually, to delve into, and, like, this could be an entire podcast. Ariel should have one if she doesn't already. She's, like, the queen of herbology. But I'll just give a couple Cliff Notes answers to your question on fave daily herbs. If I were trapped on an island, and I actually do travel with these herbs in my luggage, my three go-tos are rose petals for self-healing and love, bay leaves for manifesting, because bay leaves you can, I don't know if you guys are familiar with wish paper, those little, like, you roll it up, you make a wish. It's kind of become a novelty and like a new agey thing over the past couple years. That was based on the tradition of bay leaves. So bay leaves are really for manifesting in abundance, and it's, you can write on the leaf and burn it of like, this is what the manifestation, the wish that I'm putting out to the universe. So definitely always have bay leaves on you. Any good herbologist would. And mugwort. I love mugwort. It's it increases psychic abilities and intuition. It's great for helping with, you know, astral production, lucid dreaming. It's great to have before bed at night. And all three of these herbs can be ingested, which means you can consume them in teas, in foods. I make honeys with them. You can also soak in them for baths, and you can smoke them, burn them, and, like, you know, ingest the smoke as well. It's completely safe. So I like to work with a lot of herbs that you can use across the board for that, because sometimes I like to cook with them or create elixirs. Sometimes I like to burn them, and, you know, like in a little cauldron with a charcoal. So you can use these herbs for almost anything. And those are like my go-to. There's many, many more. And definitely check out, like I said, the resources I listed, because that's just the little tiny, tiny tidbit of herbs that I love. In terms of the tarot connection that you mentioned, yes, different herbs are ruled by different planets and elements, and therefore can be linked to specific cards and suits. I actually just came up with a new winter potion linked to the sun card, the Empress, and the suit of Fire, Wands, and Venus, because I feel like I often need their help in upcoming winter months when we can get physically and emotionally really run down. I tend to struggle with the months of January through March the most in terms of, like, low energy, seasonal depression, and as a fire sign, I realize that this is a hard time where there's less sunlight. And there isn't a lot of fire in the sun, the cosmos, until Aries season comes back around in April. Plus the cold temperatures are just, like, it's hard when you're a northeast coaster. So I started adding, I do different herbs in my honeys and in my matchas throughout the year, but as it started to get kind of below 40 degrees Fahrenheit in New York, recently I've started adding the below herbs to my morning matcha. I do a half a teaspoon of ground ginger, and ginger is associated with the fire element and suit of wands. And medically, ginger aids digestion. It's good for your stomach. Metaphysically and magically speaking, it's for motivation. Ginger speeds things up. So if you want things to happen quickly, you want to wake up quickly, if you're like, I need energy quickly in my day, ginger helps with that. I also add an eighth teaspoon or a quick dash of cayenne pepper associated with the Apollo god of the sun and, you know, the sun card in tarot. So medically, cayenne pepper, it increases blood flow, metabolism. It's really good for your heart. And metaphysically and magically, it protects and aids the heart emotionally as well. So if you're doing some heart healing, kind of some heart opening and healing, cayenne pepper is great for that. I also add a dash of cinnamon to this whole matcha potion, and cinnamon is associated with the element of fire, so that's got some wand's energy, and Venus, which is, you know, the Empress card in the deck. So medically, cinnamon is anti-inflammatory. It also has a ton of antioxidants, and magically, it aids in psychic abilities and intuition. So cinnamon is kind of like the kid sister to mugwort. So I love mugwort. I think it gives that kind of like extra boost. But if you want something a little bit tastier and a little bit lighter, cinnamon also aids in psychic abilities. And the last thing, honey. And you can add, if you're vegan, you can obviously, I know some vegans, I don't identify as hardcore vegan. I use things like honey. I know some vegans do not, and they prefer agave. So whatever sweetener, or maybe you don't need any sweetener, but I use honey in mine. Honey is associated with the sun card and Venus, again, the ruler of the Empress card. And medicinally, this is soothing, anti-inflammatory for the throat. Metaphysically, honey is known, and magically, metaphysically, is known to aid in love and friendship and kind of help bring emotional balance. So this is a good self-love, you know, adding that element to your coffee or matcha in the morning. Like I said, I drink it with matcha and almond milk, but I recently made it for one of my besties with coffee and oat milk, and she really loved it too. So I'm calling this the Spicy Witch. I will post it on my Instagram once I do a little photo shoot of my matcha. But yeah, I hope that this helps. And, you know, the good thing about doing kind of a morning ritual with herbs is that when you drink it first thing in the morning and you think about the spices that you're adding and the clarity and warmth of the sun card and that Venus, self-loving, nurturing, you know, Empress card energy, it really kind of helps you move through and with those intentions into your morning and throughout your day. So I like that as a little ritual to start your day off. All right, next question. Other than Badass Bitches Tarot and the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which I own both of already, what are some of your favorite decks? At Gifts from the Earth 77. Awesome, thank you. I am happy that you have my deck, and obviously the OG, what people consider the OG, Smith, Rider-Smith-Waite. I have bought a ton of different decks over the years from the time I started, you know, when I was 11 until now. And I always tended to go back to my childhood deck before I created my own last year. I would buy decks and I would always go back. I'll link to it. It's the Hanson Roberts deck, and it's a great starter deck. And I think it's because it's what I learned with. So there's a familiarity. There's a lot of energy in those cards of me having it over the years. They're also smaller. They're like playing card size versus that bigger traditional tarot card size. So they're easier to shuffle. The artwork is also a little bit lighter, a little bit more whimsical than the Smith Rider-Waite actual Pamela Smith artwork. So that can be, I love Pamela Coleman Smith, and I love Smith Rider-Waite for its own reasons, but it can be a little bit dark for some people to read with. And I feel like Hanson Roberts is a little bit like more fun. It's like Sagittarian energy to me. It's like fairy energy in there of like, okay, we're going to tell you the story, but we're going to put a little light and magic in it, you know? So love that deck. And that's pretty much it. I'm pretty loyal to Hanson Roberts, Smith Rider-Waite, and obviously Badass Bitches Tarot is my go-to deck. But I also work with Oracle cards. So I have a few that I work with for overarching messages for the day. And the first being the new spells deck by Kat Cabral, which we just discussed on last week's podcast. If you haven't listened, Kat is a very powerful, very knowledgeable witch. And I use the spells deck for what rituals or guidance would help me throughout the day or a certain time period, because there's different rituals, goddesses, witches, familiars in the deck. And I find these really helpful. And for those of you who are new and learning, it's a really educational deck about witchcraft in general. And it has pretty expansive but comprehensible text on each card. So you don't have to go back and forth to a book constantly like you do with a lot of Oracle decks. Like it's pretty much you just pull a card and it tells you what you need to know. I recently also fell in love with the Keepers of the Light Oracle deck by Kyle Gray. And I was doing a pop-up shop, about a Spitches Tarot pop-up in Toronto, and I saw this deck at Ohm where I was doing the event, and I instantly had to have it. And I've bought it since as a gift for my godmother. I bought it for a friend who just had an unexpected surgery. And this deck, like the Spells deck, it's an Oracle deck, so it doesn't follow the traditional suits and the cards and the archetypes of tarot, but I love it as a daily pull. It has 77 ascended masters and spiritual deities from all healing traditions. It has everybody from Jesus, Buddha, to Saint Germain and Lord Ganesha. And I love the messages in these cards. And I also love learning more about different ascended masters that I wasn't previously as familiar with, because it gives a little bit about their backstory and kind of what they stand for. I'll link to both of these decks in the notes. I have a big notes section today, kids. So if you guys are shopping for Christmas gifts or for gifts for yourself, I'm gonna link to all of these resources that I've mentioned. But these are just my favesies. And the best way always to find a deck is to, you know, when you see or hear about something that really speaks to you, whether that's seeing something in a store, hearing about one on a podcast, or seeing someone read with a deck and it just calls to you, that's really the best way to be like, ooh, I think I could work with that. I think I would get something out of that. All right, so the next question, I think this is our last question for this episode. Hey, Cardzy, I love your podcast and was sad I was traveling during your October retreat. I wanted to get your advice on some cool holiday gifts for my mystically minded friends. A group of us decided to not buy the usual gift cards for each other, but we wanted to create an energetic offering to each other instead. Nicole from San Diego. I love this idea, Nicole, and thank you for sharing this. This is like good inspiration for myself and for a lot of listeners out there. I really like the thoughtful and creative gift giving, especially at the holidays when I feel like it can become so forced and contrived. And I love when people put their own kind of unique spin on it. So thank you for this. I might do this with my friends now. So in terms of the energetic exchange, my friend Stephanie of Little Moon Mystic and I often do this. I read tarot and she teaches yoga and practices Reiki. So it's nice to be able to offer your healing gifts and be able to receive someone else's as an exchange. And it's something that you may not do. So I love Reiki. I don't know how to practice it, but I really appreciate it. I love yoga. So that's kind of, Stephanie and I will do those exchanges in energy and gratitude to one another. I personally love to make things. When I read Lisa Lister's book, Witch, where she outlines like different types of witches, I strongly identified with the creatrix, those who create magic with their hands and physical items like herbs, written spell work. That's definitely a lot of my practice. So if you fall under this category, the holidays are an awesome time to make herbal infused honeys, like I mentioned, bath scrubs, bath salts. I have a few fun recipes I'm going to be posting throughout the next month and the tarot cards that inspired them. I'm also going to be teaching an herbology and tarot course in Chelsea. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be coming up, I think, the new moon in Sag, Tuesday, November 26th. So if you are interested, there's a few spots for that. I would love to have you if you're New York based. Anyway, these are great as these, you know, they're truly custom and you can choose cards or herbs that are connected to your friends specifically, whether it's what they're going through or, you know, cards that remind you of them. And you can write a little list or a hang tag of what herbs you included and for what intentions. So, you know, I love this because it's such a personalized little like gift to give at the holidays or at any time really. But if you're not feeling the hands-on or an exchange option, you're like, those seem like a lot of work and I'm trying not to do that. I hear you. If you're a lazy witch, like two of my good friends always identify, they're like, but I'm a lazy witch. So if that is you and you're not really into the arts and crafts scene here, a really cool customized update to the gift card is holding a Yule or holiday gathering where each person brings a $5 iTunes gift card or even just a $5 bill. And you take a post-it or put this in an envelope and write a song or movie title that was really moving or inspiring to you in some way that you want someone from the group to download. And that can just be you all put this in a box and everyone draws and you're like, this is my movie, this is my song. Back in the day, I used to do this with friends and with used CDs or DVDs, and we would like all put them in a box and just like a grab bag at a party. But no one has a DVD or CD player anymore. So the update to this is putting, you know, the intention, the name of the movie on a $5 bill or an iTunes gift card with the agreement that everyone will download that movie or song. I mean, do it at the party. Like, make everyone like freaking whip out their phones and do it at the party so they don't just grab a latte with the $5 bill and forget about it. If all of your crew are like big tarot fans as well, you can get real tarot nerdy with this, and you can choose a card and select a song or movie that made you feel the essence of that card. Like, i.e. Page of Pentacles. Obvi, I would say Legally Blonde or Devil Reversed. I might go with the movie Thomas Crown Affair because it's really kind of about overcoming your inner demons and self-sabotaging behavior to come through the other side. So I hope that that is helpful. And if you guys, if any of you guys do this, send me pics. I will post them. I'm going to be having a Bexmas Hexmas black tree trimming with tarot card ornaments and vegan cookie party over here. So I love to see what you guys are doing. You're creating Yule parties and whatnot. All right. I do have a couple more, but because of timing, I'm going to keep those for a later episode since we have a coming out of the spiritual closet story I wanted to get to. It's been a while, guys. I get lots of Ask Cards EB questions these days, but I haven't had many coming out of the spiritual closet stories. This one comes from Sarah in New York. Yay, a fellow New Yorker. Hey, Cardsy, this might be more of a question than a coming out of the spiritual closet story. I've worked in finance my whole career and began doing sound healing as a side business over the past year and a half. I'm looking to transition full-time eventually, but it's a process. I recently realized that my baby step out of the closet has been to explain that I work in wellness, which is funny because when I came out of the closet as a lesbian, I initially used to say that I didn't like labels or I believe love is love. I was at a dinner with other finance executives that a friend invited me to as her plus one, and I began saying, I work in finance, but I'm transitioning into wellness. And if people asked more questions, I spoke a little bit more about my sound healing practice. Do you think this is cheating? I'm trying to find my footing as I balance both sides of my life. Hey, Sarah, I love this. And I have similarly explained my transition from fashion I've said wellness and healing or healing. And I think this is awesome. And whatever language makes you feel safe while still being authentic is perfect. So I'm so grateful for you sharing your story. I love this. And I would love to send you a deck as a token of my appreciation. So keep it up. And I'm so excited for your sound healing journey. I've had some really impactful sound baths and I would love to come to one of yours. So please hit me up with your information. If you're doing one-on-one sound healing or if you're doing events, I would love to come support. Before we head out, I would love to also quickly recap as usual. This month, we still have Scorpio with the ruling the death card, leading us through that powerful unveiling change and transformation period. We have this coupled with Temperance, reminding us to step back and see the whole picture so we can know when to get in there and mix things up and when to step back and observe and receive. And this week, we have the Seven of Cups telling us that many options are likely to present themselves this week. So to choose wisely and follow our intuition while we're making these choices. Instagram Lives, people, I'm really trying to get these on schedule. It will be Monday night, ideally at 7:30 Eastern time, but I will post in my story if the time changes. I struggle with this. I keep saying I want to be as good at this as the Half-Ass Witch and Kelly Ripa. Those are two badass witches that are always going live at the same time. If you haven't seen it in the past, the lives are awesome. You get to ask your personal questions to get a free live mini reading. You can also DM me questions through in advance, and I'll answer them on the live. Even if you're not able to tune in, I do post them for the span of the Instagram live, which is 24 hours. So you can check it later and you'll get your question answered. I also have some fun new events coming up in New York this month, a lot of holiday events. I am doing the tarot and herbology event on November 26th, as I mentioned. So check out my website, badassbitchestarot.com, and continue to follow at CardsEB on Instagram for more information of what's happening. I also think I'm coming to Toronto for an event in December, so stay tuned for that. Happy, happy end of Scorpio season to you all. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.